Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all the blessings of life, and we know that everything we have comes from Thee. Our very existence is a blessing of Thine, because within Thee we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast spared our lives and blessed us at least with a reasonable portion of good health, that we could come to this Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us and manifest Himself in our midst and guide us and direct us, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and we might honor and glory Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy word, and bless Thy people to hear and understand. Above all, bless it to Thy praise and glory, and then to the edification of Thy people. Bless those who've asked an interest in prayer, and all for whom we should pray, and forgive us of our sins. We humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verses 24 through 27. Again, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verses 24 through 27. And these words read, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." All right. This chapter of Hebrews, well, let me say something about the book of Hebrews in general. First of all, it was written to Jews who were at least in danger, at the best, were in danger of going back and trying to worship God under the law. Some of them may have already done that, and some were leaning that direction. But nevertheless, it was written to them to show the superiority of Jesus Christ in everything. This particular chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, is about men and women who lived by faith. And some of them did great things by faith. All right? As we look at these verses of Scripture, we see that Moses lived by faith. That is, he trusted that God would be with him. He could only have done what he did because God was with him. That is, there was no way that Moses could go before Pharaoh and demand, that is in the word of God, "Thus saith the Lord," that he let the Israelites go. It just would not happen. He would have been killed, but God was with him. He lived by the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. By the way, that's an expression which is a part of Jude chapter 1, verse 3. There's really no chapters in Jude, but it's listed in that way. Chapter 1, verse 3. And the faith once delivered unto the saints is the word of God. Now, there's a beautiful thing about that, is that shows the something of the fullness or completion of the word of God. The faith once, not twice, but once delivered unto the saints. That is, God has delivered the faith once delivered unto the saints. All right, Moses lived according to the word of God. That is to say, he obeyed the word of God. All right, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses left everything this world could provide when he did that. Secular history teaches that Moses would have been the next Pharaoh. And one noted and very reliable Jewish historian by the name of Flavius Josephus wrote that Moses was in line to be the next Pharaoh over all of Egypt. Now, as Pharaoh, Moses could have had all he wanted that could be had in that day. He could have been king over the most powerful nation on the earth. And as king of the most powerful nation on the earth, he would have been the most powerful man on the face of the earth. There were great riches in Egypt, and Moses could have had it all and wanted for nothing. And yet, he turned that down, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me go back in just a moment. It says, Moses, when he was come to years, that is evidently by what I read, he was about 40 years old. I don't know when he knew that he was not Pharaoh's daughter, or that Pharaoh's daughter adopted him as her own son. I don't know when he knew that. I don't know how long his mother kept him until she turned him back over to Pharaoh's daughter. And if she kept him long enough, I'm sure that she told him that he was her son and he was an Israelite or a Hebrew. Now, but we don't know. But when he was about 40 years old, at that time, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All right? Now, not only did he refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. The idea there, he'd rather, instead of being called the son of Pharaoh, instead of being the next Pharaoh with all that would give him, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. All right? That is an odd choice for the carnal man. The idea that we need certain things. If we, there are some people that have the health and wealth doctrine. That is, you'll never be sick. And if you are sick, you'll be over it mighty quickly. And you can have all you want as far as the material things in this world. And so that's contrary to the carnal man. And that son of us shuns any kind of affliction. But Moses had rather have the affliction. Moses knew by faith that it pleased God and that God would be with him. Now, this was better than Moses, than the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses did this by faith, again, knowing that God would be with him. The pleasures of sin are for a season. Now, I'm not going to go into any kind of pleasure that we might find in sin, but we might, and yet, at the same time, if we feel no guilt and no remorse, and I know you well enough to think if you were to commit certain sins that you would feel guilty. You would be remorseful. And yet, even if we didn't feel guilty and remorseful, then when we have that pleasure of sin, it's all over momentarily, along with any kind of pleasures. One thing I remember, every once in a while, we lived for 3 years in Valdosta. And while we lived there, Valdosta won a state championship in football. Most of you are old enough to know about Valdosta's reputation as a football powerhouse. Well, we were there one of those years. And there were a brother and sister that the sister was ill. She could not go. And so the brother, they had season tickets. And he let me have her season ticket. And we sat there. And I can remember that night. They won the state championship. And that was great. And I was overjoyed about that. But on the way out of the stadium, it was over. Now you see, it's done, it's great, and so forth, and yet the pleasure of that is over. That's the idea of sin. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with a football game. But the idea of anything that's not spiritual is carnal, some of it, of course, sinful. But the idea of sinful and carnal pleasures are over rather quickly. Now, Moses believed that the reproaches of Christ were better than Egypt's riches. Why are they called the reproaches of Christ? Because Christ, this was, I don't know how many years it may have been before Jesus was born, but nevertheless, why are they called the reproaches of Christ? And the reason I believe is, or at least one reason, is Jesus was the reason God chose the Israelites and blessed them. Again, remember, Jesus was the reason that God chose the Israelites and blessed them. Now to see this, turn with me back to Genesis. And I want to read from Genesis chapter 28 and verses 13 through 15. Again, Genesis chapter 28 and verses 13 through 15. All right? This is God's message to Jacob. when Jacob saw that vision of his ladder with the reach from earth to heaven with the angel of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. All right, now we pick up. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, notice he mentioned the fact that Abraham was his father, and then Isaac. He didn't say he was his father, but he says, I'm the God of Isaac. So, obviously, he's talking to someone else. He's talking now to Jacob. All right, verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, think about that expression. God told Jacob that in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. They were not blessed with Jacob. They were not blessed with the Israelites as a nation, but rather one who came, a seed of Jacob, the son of Abraham, as he's called in Matthew 1:1, then Jesus Christ, in him, that is Jesus, would all the families of the earth be blessed. And so, you see, my brothers and sisters, that's why God chose the Israelites out of above all other nations, and that is that Jesus Christ would come from that nation. All right? And then in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, notice that the expression that God said he would be with Jacob, or meaning the Israelites, until he'd done everything that he promised Jacob that might come to pass. And so God is no longer with Israel as a nation. That is, they accomplished everything they did. Now, there were Jews that rejoiced in the gospel of Jesus Christ when Jesus came. All the apostles were Jews. I would tend to think in Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and all the other cities where there were churches, there were Jewish and Gentile members there. I don't know for sure, but nevertheless, I tend to think that there were Jews and Gentiles that were there. And yet every place they went, every city they went, there were unbelieving Jews and pagans that opposed them and all they did. But nevertheless, they were Jews. And so there were still Jews that rejoiced in Jesus Christ, but as a nation, God was through with them. All right. But not with every individual Jew. All right. Moses' esteem approaches better because he knew there was a reward. And the reward, now it's known as the expression, the reward. And the reward is that God would be with him. Yeah. And this was greater than all the power and riches of Egypt. God would bless Moses to know that he pleased the Lord. All right. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Moses did, as those of you that know the history, Moses did later flee from Pharaoh when he killed an Egyptian. He feared for his life at that time, but he did not fear the wrath of the king and refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and refusing to be a part of the family of the king of Egypt. Now, but what Moses did was treason. That is, when Moses said, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that was treason there in the land of Egypt. He could have been put to death for that. This is one reason Moses was made a part of Pharaoh's household, I believe, that God moved that to come to pass, to show that there is something better than all the world could provide. Now, think about this. The Egyptians had to take notice of that. The Egyptians, they had to take notice. Here's somebody that gives it all up. Here's somebody that doesn't want all this pomp and all this glory and all the riches and all the power of Egypt. Here's someone that doesn't want that. And he wants to suffer affliction with the people of God. He'd rather this slave in the land of Egypt than be over all the land of Egypt. That's what Moses did. So the Egyptians had to take notice of that. Now, I don't think many of them, if any of them, had any desire to do what Moses did, but they had to take notice of it. Moses endured as seeing one who is visible, and that is the Lord. Now think about this, brothers and sisters. Moses later saw the Lord face to face. There are mentions in scriptures where Moses saw the Lord face to face. All right? Now, I know that you may remember the scriptures when Moses asked God to show him his glory. And God told him that no one can see my face and live. Well, that's consistent. Let me explain. All right? Moses asked to see the glory of God. And God was telling him then, no one can see my glorified face and live. And so that's why the Lord put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and when he passed by, put his hand over him so he could not see, and then he turned and then moved his hand, and Moses could see the glorified back parts of God. Now, the other face-to-face was their time. This is one of a number of times where Jesus appeared as a man and talked face-to-face with people, as he did with Moses, and another time I can remember as he did with Abraham. So Jesus appeared as a man, the eternal Son of God appeared as a man and talked with Moses face to face and gave Moses the law face to face. All right? Hebrews was written, as I said in the beginning, Hebrews was written to Jews who tried to worship under the law. Some unbelieving Jews claimed that they were followers of Moses. Now, to see this, turn with me to the Gospel according to John, and I want to read chapter 9 and verse 28. Again, the Gospel according to John, chapter 9 and verse 28. Now, notice this. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple. Jesus' disciple, by the way. But we are Moses' disciples. All right, so here's a man that was trying to follow Jesus, who believed in Jesus, and said, now, and they was ridiculed for being a disciple of Jesus. He said, now, we are Moses' disciples. Now, it's interesting. Remember what I said earlier, where Jesus appeared as a man and talked with Moses face to face? They were Moses' disciples, as opposed to being a disciple of the one who gave Moses the law. Now, that's interesting to me. All right. Now, but Moses prophesied of Jesus. Look with me, if we will, to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Again, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. And this verse of Scripture reads, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ spoken by Moses. And it says, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. The idea there that Jesus would be a prophet like unto Moses. As Moses was the deliverer or the giver from the Lord of one covenant to the nation of Israel, then Jesus Christ was the giver of another covenant, and that is first of all to the nation of Israel, and then later by his apostles and others to the Gentiles. And so there are other things. Now, I remember a number of years ago, a preacher that preached at the minister school, and he preached about the comparison with Moses and Jesus Christ. And one of the things he said that I remember since 1974, December of 1974, he said that Moses had a Gentile bride and Jesus has a Gentile bride, and that is his church, because his church is a Gentile church, or by and large is a Gentile church. All right? Now, notice again, we're talking about the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And remember, that's the chapter of faith. I've heard some people say that was the catalog of the faithful. Some are mentioned, some are not. But there is one thing I notice in studying about this, there is about as much about Moses in this chapter of faith than any other person. I think just having read it, maybe the only one that's mentioned about as much as Moses was is Abraham. And there's much said about Moses, about him living by faith. Now, and part of that is the Jews in Jesus' day, and then later on in the first century during the Church of Jesus Christ, were to live by faith and follow Jesus as Moses lived by faith and believed in Jesus. The Jews in Jesus' day were to live by faith and follow Jesus. All right? How is it with us? We can say a lot about Moses and others in the church in the first century, but how is it with us? Do we love Jesus more than anyone or anything else in this world? That's a hard doctrine. That's a serious question. Do we love Jesus more than anyone or anything in this world? Do we turn from the things of this world so that we might follow Jesus? Now, that's hard doctrine. The idea that we are to turn from anything and everything in this world so that we, anything and anyone, so that we might serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do that? The commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I think that pretty much says that's everything we have. We're to use that in the service of the Lord to show that we love Him. Now, here's another thing. Going back and look at Moses to see what he denied. Are we willing to follow Jesus in spite of the consequences we may have? Well, as you know, that there may be consequences. They may be light. They may be heavy. Regardless of that, but are we willing to serve the Lord, to follow Jesus in spite of any consequences that may be in our lives because of that? All right? Now, God has never changed. God has never changed. We need to remember that. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it reads, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." All right. Now, the idea there, again, God has never changed, right? Why is that important right here? Well, God will bless us in the same way He blessed Moses. God didn't bless people in that way differently than He does today. There's some differences. They didn't have the teaching of the gospel that we have. And yet, listen, did you know the worship of God has never changed? That's right. That's right. Absolutely correct. So why do you say that? We don't worship as they did under the law. Correct? That's absolutely correct. Now, but think about this. In the day they worshiped, how did they worship? They worshiped by giving a sacrifice. And then when they worshiped God with all their heart, or by giving a sacrifice with all their heart, God blessed them with His felt presence. It hasn't changed one bit today. Now, there is, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, there is a living sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, I think it is. Well, I'm not sure about the verse there, but Hebrews chapter 13, there is the sacrifice of praise. And so, and the amazing thing about that is, and all of Hebrews, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews was letting them know, now these sacrifices under the law were inferior, and everything under Christ is better than it was under the law. And when he said these sacrifices are no good, then he's saying here is a sacrifice that is good. Here is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And that is when we offer unto the Lord a sacrifice of praise, especially in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like those sacrifices and offerings that were in the Old Testament times, and when we make that sacrifice of praise with all our hearts, then God is pleased with that, and God blesses us with His felt presence. Now, I think, brothers and sisters, of when the tabernacle And then later the temple, when they were dedicated, and they offered bullocks and sheep and rams and all kind of animals to the Lord without number because of the joy that they had in that. And in both instances, the tabernacle first, later the temple, that the glory of God filled the place so much that the priests could no longer do what they were supposed to do. Now, think about this, brothers and sisters, that God doesn't bless us with that kind of glory, but God blesses us with His glory, and His glory is Jesus Christ. And by faith, we're blessed to see Jesus Christ, what He has, what He does for us, and what He will do for us, especially in the resurrection. God blesses us to see the glory in Jesus Christ. God blesses us to feel His glory with the felt presence of His Holy Spirit. And so again, God will bless us in the same way He blessed Moses. You know, one of the things I remember, thought about several times, didn't really look it up, but some of you will remember that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face shined. His face shined. And the Israelites were scared of him. They told him to put a veil over your face, and he did. But his face shined. Now, the idea there is that Moses was not the same when he came down from the mount. And listen, brothers and sisters, when we're blessed to worship in spirit and truth, when we're blessed to praise the Lord, then we're not the same for quite some time. And thank the Lord for His blessings. And so, my brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us to live by the faith of the Scriptures and the faith that God has given us. That is, God has given us that faith which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We have that within us. We have the ability to manifest that faith in our lives. God help us, as Moses, that we might walk by faith, that we might walk by the commandments that are found in the Word of God, and then live by the faith that God has given us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.